by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let me pray as we look into God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be at work by your Spirit now. Please speak to us. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said at the beginning, today is Vision Sunday. And Vision Sunday is really all about thinking about the future. What is God calling us to and to be and to do over the next 12 months? Now, that is an exciting thing to think about, an exciting thing to pray over, an exciting thing to prepare for. But it's also, to be honest, quite a daunting thing. As a relatively new vicar, I've now been here nearly 4 months. It's sort of a bit of a tricky thing to think about. I'm still getting to know things. Not sooner have we arrived than we were getting to know people, and then Christmas is here, and then suddenly Vision Sunday is here, and it's sort of down to me to try and communicate what I've discerned is our direction for the coming year. And I'll be honest with you, it's been a bit of a stressful time. And I don't just mean because I've had a cold this week and a radiator in our house exploded yesterday morning and a whole host of other things that could have gone wrong and did go wrong this week. But just the amount of pressure that you can put on yourself as you think about how on earth am I going to communicate a vision to this church? It's a big deal. It's a big thing to think about. Well, thankfully, first of all, we have a big God who is able to deal with big things. And secondly, a God who deals compassionately with us. So as I was preparing this week and getting myself, to be honest, quite stressed about things, God helped me to remember that actually it's not my vision that is important for this church. Thankfully, it's God's vision that we need to hear and we need to discern. So however much you may be here this evening thinking, I'd love to know what Dan's got in store, I'd love to know what ideas he's got, actually, my hope and my prayer is that together we can hear what God's idea is and what God's vision for us as a church is. And that's why I thought it would be useful, helpful for us to look into this passage from 1 Peter chapter 2, because I think as Peter speaks here, he speaks about God's plans and purposes. He talks about God's vision for us as a church. You could argue God's vision for every church. But I think this is particularly a word in season for us here at Holy Trinity. And what is God's vision for us? God's vision is to build. What God wants to say to us in this next year or so is it's time to build. And just in case you didn't notice that already, if you've got a Bible or an app or whatever you're looking at, you might want to look again at verses 4 and 5. Because there Peter writes, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You see, what Peter is describing there is a building development. He couches it in lots of Old Testament language, but at the heart, it's about a building. It's about a building project, a building development. And I guess we're all pretty familiar with building developments, aren't we? It's pretty hard to go around London without coming across building developments. You may well know that the site where Homebase is at the moment is planning to be knocked down and rebuilt into a set of, well, affordable / luxury flats and other amenities. We know that there are building projects all around us, aren't there? You can't move in London for that. And even as you walk around Richmond, you can't but spot houses where people are trying to build outwards if they can, upwards if they can, and if they can't go in those directions, they'll build downwards into the basement, trying to do whatever they can to increase their space, increase their property values, to build. We know about building stuff. We know about building projects. But this passage reminds us that God is involved in a building project too. God is in the business of building. And what he is building is there for us in verse 5. There Peter says, being built into a spiritual house. Now that might seem like kind of floaty, poetic language, as if it's a sort of imaginary house instead of a real house that you can live in. But that's not what Peter, and that's not what God is getting at all. When he says he's building a spiritual house, he's really talking about a house for his spirit. That is to say, a house where God himself dwells, where God himself lives. God is about building a place where he can come and live. Peter, as he talks here, is drawing on Old Testament language that talks about the temple. And that was the place where the people of Israel kind of regarded God as living. But now, says Peter, that temple has gone. It's been fulfilled through Jesus. Now God is about building a new house where God is going to be by his Spirit. And that is God's vision for us. God's vision for us as a church is to build a place where he can come and live, where he can come and dwell, where his Spirit is present, where his Spirit is there and active and powerful. God is building a place for himself. God is building a palace for the King of Kings. God is building a splendid mansion where he himself will live by his Spirit. That is God's vision. And before we get involved in what we could do over the coming year and what things should we be involved in, before we think about all the stuff that fills our diary, if we strip away all the stuff that we do, at the very heart, this is what God is about amongst us. He is about building a house for himself. He is about building a place where he comes to live. That is God's vision. And so it should be our vision as well. It is a time to build because God is in the business of building. And I think there are three dimensions, literally and metaphorically, to building. And three challenges that therefore God gives to us at the beginning of this new year. How does God go about building? Well, the first is he builds us as individuals. He builds as individuals. Now, I don't know, when you wander around and you see new buildings going up, you might sort of peer over the fence, or if you're one of those building areas where they have a little window you can look through and see what's going on, you might peek through and see what they're building with. What kind of building is this going to be? You know, is it going to be a house built from red brick? Or is it going to be some kind of grand edifice that's made of stone? Is it going to be a car park, which is usually made of dull concrete? Or is it going to be some gleaming skyscraper made of glass and metal that's meant to look amazing from every angle? Well, we might want to do the same with God's building project. As we think about God building a house for himself, is he God thinking about us being a house where he dwells? What is his building material? What's he building out of? And the answer is, he is building out of you and me. We are the building materials for this house that God is making. So Peter says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You see, God wants to build a place where he lives, and he's building it out of you and me. We are the basic materials from which God is going to build this magnificent house. I wonder how you feel about that. How do you feel about being a building material? I wonder if you look around you just for a moment. I know it's a bit odd. We like to sort of just head forward. But just take a look around you at your fellow building materials. What do you think people are as you look around? You might sort of look around and think, well, that person, they're obviously a brick. Very much a brick. Good solid brick, but a brick. That person over there, well, they're a block of marble, frankly. I mean, they're just lovely. How do you feel about yourself as part of that building material? How do you feel about yourself? Are you a breeze block? Are you a little Lego brick? Maybe a little bit useful, but sort of dwarfed in the midst of everything else that's going on. We can begin to sort of think of ourselves as different building materials. We can probably think of ourselves fairly lowly and other people very highly in many ways. Well, I don't know if you think of yourself as a breeze block or a chunk of concrete or a brick, but that is not how God sees you. So it's vitally important for us to know how God sees us. And this is how God sees us. Verse 9, Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. What kind of stones does God choose to build his house with? The answer is precious stones. Each one of us is chosen by God, precious to him. And as we look around, we don't see breeze blocks and bricks. We see gold and silver and emeralds and rubies and sapphires. In fact, as you fast forward to the end of the Bible, there at the end of the Bible, we have a vision of the New Jerusalem, which is basically the church. And what is it? It's a city made of gold and silver and emeralds and jewels of all kinds. That is the house that God is building. And the people that God is building with are chosen, precious people. We are like precious stones. And you might seem to say to yourself, well, okay, if that's what it says, that's great, but I don't feel much like a precious stone. Or you might think, I'd love to be a precious stone, but how does that happen? How do I take hold of that? Well, Peter gives us a very simple answer. How does God build us up as individuals? How does he make us into this precious stone? The answer, Peter says, is in verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone. You see, each one of us is a living stone. Each one of us can be part of this house that God is building. And the way that we do that is to come to Jesus, the living stone. The way in which we become more and more like that precious jewel that God is wanting us to be is by coming more and more to Jesus, the precious jewel. So here's the first challenge for us in this new year. How will we do that? How will we actively, deliberately come to Jesus? How will we come to him, the living stone? What are we going to do in order to know him more? I'm not going to give you a whole list of things that you could do. If you want some suggestions, come and chat to me later. But are you going to make moves and steps to know him more this coming year? That's the first challenge and the first way that God builds as us as individuals. Here's the second one. God's vision to build this house is to build us together. Now we know, don't we, that when we see buildings going up, along with the building going up comes a whole ton of trucks with a whole ton of materials on it. We know that, don't we? If you see someone doing some remodeling of their house, you know that somewhere along the line, some big truck is going to come up and dump a whole lot of materials on the side of the road. It comes with the territory. Because we know one brick does not make a house. You know, if you're wandering along and you see a brick by the side of the road, maybe your first thought is, why is there a brick by the side of the road? And then your next thought might be, that's not a house. That's a brick. It takes more than one brick to make a house. Now, that's obvious, isn't it? But it is a little bit too easy for us to slip into thinking that when it comes to the Christian life. One Christian does not make a church. And see, God has designed us to be in community with one another. And God is building us. He's building us into a place where he lives by his Spirit, and he is building us together. He is knitting us together into this building. And therefore, we need one another. We need to be connected to one another. That is the way that God has designed it. You might say, well, I quite like being on my own. That's not God's plan. The architect has not drawn up a plan of one brick. He has placed you with other bricks, or let's be honest, precious stones. But still, we need one another. Now, despite all the imagery that I'm spouting this evening, I don't know a lot about building sites. I don't know a lot about construction. But I do know a few things. And the first thing that I know is that a building site is a fairly messy place, isn't it? I mean, you expect that, don't you? You expect there to be piles of bricks and other material lying around. You expect there to be sort of hanging wires and so forth. Why? Because it's a work in progress. If everything was neat and tidy, either it was finished or nothing would get done. Things need to be messy and mucky in order for the work to be completed. So too it is with us. See, one of the reasons why we like to be lone rangers a lot of the time, why we like to be our own single solitary brick, is because being connected with other people is messy. It's hard. It's painful. It's difficult at times. But that's okay. Because it shows that we're a work in progress. The reason why church life can be a bit hard at times is because the people that you have to deal with are a work in progress. And they have to deal with you, and you're a work in progress too. I'm a work in progress, very much so. You see, God wants to build us, but he has designed it so that we are built together, connected together, knitted together into this place that God is building. So here's the second challenge for us at the start of this new year. How are we going to be more connected with other Christians this year? Again, I'm not going to give you a whole list of things that you could do. If you want some suggestions, come and chat to me. But what deliberate steps, what even one thing can we do this year to be more connected rather than less connected with our church family? Because God is building us together. And then there's a third way in which God builds, and a third challenge for us. So God builds us as individuals. He draws us closer to Christ so that we become more and more like that precious jewel that God says that we are. He builds us together so that we're connected with one another. We're a work in progress. And then thirdly, God builds us for and on a mission. You see, there is a purpose for us. God is building this house where he lives for a reason. And Peter tells us that reason in verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, God's house has a job to do. We have a job to do. We have a mission to fulfill. And that is to declare God's praises. We are to declare the praises of Jesus, who moves us from darkness into light. We are to declare the praises of Jesus, who moves us from rebels against God to recipients of mercy. We are to declare the praises of Jesus, who moves us from being enemies of God to being children of God. We are to declare the praises of Jesus because he is worthy of praise. We've been singing his praise already this evening. and we are to continue to declare his praise in every aspect of our lives. As a church here at Holy Trinity, we believe that God has called us to be a church with an open door. It's the reason why we put it on almost every piece of paper we can find. Because we believe that's what God has called us to be. And I think that is a calling that continues and we want to continue to invest in. But you know, being a church with an open door doesn't just mean having an open door so that people can come in and we can welcome them, though it certainly does include that. But it means that the doors are open so that we can go out and declare God's praises. We want the doors to be open so that the praises that are declared in here are heard all the way through Richmond and beyond. That is God's vision. We are to declare the praises of him who moved us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We praise not just for our own benefit, but we praise so that others hear. Others hear about Jesus. We want the noise to be heard. That is what God has given us to do. And that is what shapes what we're about. And the opportunities that God has placed before us in this coming year. I think there are lots of opportunities that God wants us to build on. I think it's vital for us to notice and to recognize that, first of all, we're building on good foundations as we think about the year to come. And I don't just mean the foundations of the truth about Jesus, though that is the tremendous foundation to build from. I also mean the foundations of the ministry in past years here at Holy Trinity. Because I think this is a place where God has been ministering and has been building for many, many years. As a relatively new vicar, you get asked quite a lot of questions by people who know you from other contexts, and they know that you've come to a new place, and they say, well, how are things going at Holy Trinity? I always find that quite difficult to answer. Yeah, I think they're going all right. They haven't sacked me. They didn't change the locks after Christmas, so I think things are going okay. But as I've had a chance to reflect on that a bit more, I think one of the things that has come back again and again is that this church is actually in a really healthy place. Now, that is in no way denying the difficulties of the past year, 18 months or so. It's been a painful time. It's been a time of grief and loss, and continues to be. Nor is it denying that individually we may be going through some very difficult times. But actually, the way in which God has been at work and the way in which the ministry of this church has gone on through a whole host of different people means that the foundations of the church are strong. You see some building projects where developers come in and they have to just take the whole thing down, including right down to the foundations, to put new foundations in. I don't think that's what God is doing for us. In fact, I think God has given us good foundations, solid foundations, over many years to build from. That's testimony to the ministry of people like Trevor and Kate Patterson, but many people in this church now and who have been in the church in the past. We have strong foundations to build from. But having said that, there are new opportunities that God is putting before us. New opportunities to build further. And you'll find in your booklet a number of them, and they're not the only ones. In fact, there may be new ones that come up in the year that I certainly can't see yet. But here are a few that we think that God is placing before us. One of the key ones that affects this service is our opportunity to work more with our young people. As I've chatted with George in particular, we felt that there's a real opportunity that God has placed before us to continue to work closely with Bless Church in Ealing. We've done a number of things together over the years, and it seems right to us that we should start a youth-led service once a month. A chance for our young people, their young people, to use their gifts to step up and to lead. And we hope that that will attract more young people to come and hear the good news of Jesus, to be his disciples. Now, I want to emphasize a couple of things. The first is that this is a youth-led service. It doesn't mean that there's going to be an age limit as you come in, okay? No one's going to say you have to be under this height in order to, to ride this this service. No, this is going to be something that we're going to give to our young people to run with, but they're going to serve us. And we hope this is going to unlock a lot of their gifts and a lot of their talents that God has given to them. But it's not saying that this is only for young people. And the other thing to say is that we're going to partner with Blessed Church, which means that we don't get to host it all the time. So 1 month it's going to be here. The next month it'll be over at Bless in Ealing. That does not mean that there is no evening service. It just means the evening service is in a different place. There's a bus service. Apparently it's very good, so we'll be okay. So there's going to be some changes. There's going to be some differences. We're not changing absolutely everything, but we are going to take a few risks. The young people are going to have a chance to do things in the way that they feel led, and it's going to be different. Some things we're going to love, some things we're going to be challenged by. But we hope this is going to be an exciting opportunity to serve our young people and for our young people to serve us. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. And then there are a number of other opportunities as well. Many of you will know that we're in the process at the moment of recruiting a new head teacher for Holy Trinity School. And it's really sad to say goodbye to Penny Cox as head teacher. But at the same time, this opens up a new chapter for the school and a new opportunity to build on the opportunities we've already had to go into the school and to continue those links, to build on them. And indeed, not just on that school, but in Christ School and in Marshgate and at the Rainbow Nursery that meets here and a whole host of other things. God is placing so many opportunities before us. We want to capitalize on them. And God has also grown ministries out of this church, to which we're incredibly thankful. We've got three ministries that have grown out of here, Kick London, Riverbank, and LVA Trust. And we want to continue to build on our links with them. We're going to think more about that as the year goes on. One of the things we want to do is, just as we have a Riverbank Sunday and a Kick Sunday, we want to have an LVA Sunday, where we can continue to hear more about that ministry and support it, and pray for it, spur it on. But we also want to think about restarting a Kick Academy here at Holy Trinity. As Kick has started from here, so we want to restart the opportunity for young people to come and to play football and to enjoy themselves and to hear about Jesus through the lives of people and through the words of people as well. Next week is our Giving Sunday, and we'll think as part of that a little bit more about how we might be able to serve as part of these different things. And if you have no idea where Kick Academy is, I'm happy to tell you a bit more about it or point you in the direction of people who will tell you even more about it. But each one of these opportunities, and there are a few more on the sheet that we can talk about as well, give us an opportunity to step up and be part of it. So there's the third challenge. As God is building a house where he lives by his Spirit, he not only challenges us as individuals and as a church together, but also how we play our part in that mission that God has given to us. So can I encourage you to prayerfully reflect and think about how can you be part of these different things, or maybe an entirely new thing that we haven't thought of, but God is putting on your heart. One of the things that we're going to be doing is a building project, which is why buildings have been on my mind, I guess. And we're going to be thinking about how to prepare the physical space that we have here for the future. Next year, 2020, is our 150th anniversary. So the church was founded in 1870. And we want to be able to look back and give thanks to God for the things that he has done over those 150 years. But we also want to be prepared for what God is going to do in the future. And so we're going to be doing a building project. We're not going to be starting to build here and now. We're going to be forming a group, go to some architects, pull up some plans, share them with one another. And eventually there will be some building work here. But I hope that as we come to that building work, as literal bricks and mortar and other things come in and things get changed around, we won't just be excited about the new office space that might be provided, new space for ministries, a roof that doesn't leak. I hope we'll also be reminded of the fact that God is building a house with us. So with that in mind, let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your vision for us is to be a place where you live by your Spirit. And Lord, we want to be captured by that vision. We want that vision to fill our minds and our sight. And so please help us, challenge us to know how we as individuals might draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him, that living stone, this year. Lord, encourage us and challenge us by your Spirit to know how we might be more closely knit together as a community. How can we share our lives with one another more? And as we think about the exciting opportunities for mission that you have put before us, please help us to think about how we might play our part in that, so that we might declare the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us out of darkness into his wonderful light. In his name we pray. Amen.